Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, well, then you're not broke. I said, the Bible declares that, I said, that he gives seed to the sower.
Amen.
I said, so, you know, you're never without seed. I said, now you might be eating seed. I said, but don't get upset at us because we teach people how to prosper.
Amen.
We teach people how to give. We teach people that you're never strapped. Don't get mad at us. The Bible is the only reason we believe what we believe. And we don't believe it based on what we see. I said, so I'm sure if you leave here and go to your house, take your couch, turn it upside down, something, move furniture around, you've dropped coins, you've dropped money. I said, find it in your house. I said, then you have seed to sow. Well, sure enough, the woman goes home. She didn't like what I was saying. But she goes home. Sure enough, the next time we had offerings, she brought an offering to the Lord that she had dug around in her house. I said, see, the Bible says you give seed to the sower. I said, so you was convinced that you were broke, but I was convinced based on the Bible that you wasn't. So all I did is help you go find a seed now to honor God with.
Amen.
So God can honor you with it, praise God. Growing up in the Lord at the title this morning. How many of you believe in this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not interested in going through 2022 and not growing. I grew in 2021. I purposed in my heart to be stronger when I came out of 2021. Now it's been a battle the whole year to grow. But I grew.
Yeah.
I'm stronger right now than I was when I entered into 2021.
Hallelujah.
Ready to wind? Oh, hallelujah. I feel it.
Yeah.
I'm wiser. I'm not as weak as I was.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
There's fruit. There's fruit. There's fruit. When fruit comes, you know there's fruit.
Yeah.
When I plant tomatoes, it ain't like, oh, I wonder if that's a tomato or a cucumber. No, man, it's on a tomato plant. That's a tomato. I planted a tomato. Right? Before you know it, it starts blooming. And I know, you might not know, when you see a bloom, before you know it, a week or two, there's going to be a tomato if everything's normal. That bloom, it'll be in the middle of it, it'll come on a tomato. And you know what? But you don't. I'm not eating that fruit yet.
Right.
That's one thing, Teresa. No, no, but don't mess with my green tomatoes until I get a ripe one.
Hmm.
I've been waiting all winter for a ripe one.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I can see the fruit, and I know that if I take care of that fruit, then I will eat a tomato. I do it every year, have done it all my life just about of that. But the Lord wants me to grow up on up in Him. He wants me to grow more. He wants me, these people laid out of church this morning because they're discouraged. I'm not trying to judge people. Don't ever judge them. That's pitiful. That's pitiful if they're not in the hospital or they're dead nearly. Come on, somebody, we got to be strong.
Amen.
I mean, I can't go by how I feel whether I'm going to go to church or not. I'm way past that. I beat that at 2 months old in the Lord.
Amen.
2 months old in the Lord, I whipped that puppy.
Amen.
When I realized my job was trying to get in the way of me serving God, I whipped that puppy. What was happening? I was growing in the Lord. I was seeing the challenges that were trying to stop me from growing in the Lord, and I was realizing at the time these things are coming to stop me from going on. And I wasn't but 2 months old. So if we've been 8 years in the Lord and we can't even fight to bet you, we are something wrong with us. I'm not judging you and being ugly. I'm on Facebook Live right now. People sitting in their living room, laying in their bed asleep. They can game all night. They can watch TV. They can do everything all night long. But when it comes down to the things of God, they're tired. They're weak. They're weary.
Right.
The world has worn them out.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling Richard, we was talking earlier, and I remember back whenever I had open heart surgery. And there's a lot of people that it put a lot of weight on at that time. Me not being able to operate in the natural. It put weight on my son. He had to run my whole business. He'd never run a business before. He couldn't get people to come to work. They were laying out on him. He took care of the church. They're going to get the food, the getting it set up. You know, he was having to take care of my animals at home. Teresa wouldn't leave the hospital. She wasn't going to leave the hospital. And I had responsibility. I run this church and everything else in the hospital on the phone right after open heart surgery. And you know, then I'm telling you this for a reason, not so that you can hear my story, because every one of us are going to meet challenges as Christians in our lives. And what we do with those challenges is going to determine the outcome of what that challenge is meant to do. Either make me stronger or make me bitter or cause me to quit or cause me to get discouraged. But every obstacle in our life, we're supposed to grow. We're supposed to grow stronger and develop and get into a place to where I shall not be moved. We can sing it. I shall not be. I'm like a tree plant. Don't sing it in church and don't live it. If we don't sing it in church, then when all of this comes out here, we don't lay down and say, well, God, you understand. No, I shall not be. You got to stand up and you got to say, I won't be moved. And when we make that choice, there's fruit, Jesus, on the inside of us that empowers us to overcome the obstacles that we're facing that's trying to get us defeated. And I was telling Richard, I said, you know, and I was talking about, they told me what time I asked the lady, I said, listen, because they cut me open. My bone sawed it in two. I had open heart surgery and blah, 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 you know. And so I had my main concern about going in was not the surgery. It was not the surgery. It was not whether I'm going to die or not. I'm not through with my journey yet at that time. And I know I'm called. Now, I done found out in the Bible he couldn't kill Paul because he had to go to these places that God had told him. Shipwreck couldn't, snakes couldn't kill him, couldn't nothing kill him. Stoned him, couldn't kill him. He's crawled back in there, right back up again. You know why? Paul was following after that he had been apprehended of. Paul was looking not at the natural things. He wrote that stuff to us. While we look not at the things that are in the natural, but the things that are eternal, the word, the kingdom, the things of the kingdom. So I'll tell you that. So the doctors, you know, asked her, I said, listen, I said, will I grow back together? Will my bones grow back together? She said, listen, Mr. Weston, if you'll do what I tell you to do, she said, in 6 weeks, I believe it was 6 weeks, she said, you can tote your wife. She's heavy. I thought, man, if I do what she says, in 6 weeks, I can pick my wife up. I will be a man again. And so anyways, I said, let's go. Let's get it done. I'm ready now, praise God. Let's go. Now time's against me. I need to get it done or time's working for me. Because the longer it's taking to get it done, see, the longer it takes me and you to yield to love, the longer it takes us to get the unfree, we got to get our ground. Our heart is ground. We got to have our heart, our ground ready for the word when the sea comes. You know, I was telling Teresa this morning, I'll finish that story, don't let me forget. I was telling Teresa this morning, I said, you know, I said, I'm kind of on this fruit thing right now. I said, you know, I said, now my garden, it's got turnip greens about that high, and they probably turnips. I was thinking about yesterday, they're big in the garden and all that. And it's all grew up right now, you know, and I've still got tomato steaks and all of that stuff. And it usually looks awful till spring. I told her, I said, I don't go down there and just go through there in the middle of that stuff and dig a hole and put a tomato plant in the spring. I don't just go dig a hole and put a meter plant. Put a meter. Well, hell, I'm going to have some good tomatoes. No, brother, I won't. Because, see, all of this corruption, all of this stuff is going to block the sun. It's going to block the light from getting into my tomato plant. It's going to suck up all of the water from getting the nutrients in, you know, and it's going to eat up all the fertilizer. All the stuff that I really don't want bearing fruit is going to stop my crop. And so what I do is I go in there. I know I'm talking natural. I can't help it. It seems like the Lord does that for me. Brings natural things in so I can see, compare it to spiritual things. Well, I'm going to go down there and I'll pull all of those up. I'll get them all up. I will disc all of that under. I will wait till it rots and everything. I'll get it ready. Praise God. That's the way we've got to do our heart. You better believe what I'm telling you is the truth. God's wanting us to grow in the Lord this year more than we ever have.
Amen.
But we got to get some things out. Unfaithfulness.
Right.
The Bible says if you be faithful in smalls, you don't go to church small.
Right.
Small.
Yep.
If I will be faithful in the small, he will make me ruler over much.
Yeah.
Unfaithfulness, he can't make you ruler. But anyhow, I'm back to the story. We'll get to that later. But I was telling Rita, I said, and so they tell me after 4 or 5 weeks I can drive or whatever the case might be, you know. And so I'm out driving the Gator with one hand. Just, you don't need to do it with two because you might break it apart or something, you know. Well, I'm sitting there and I got to do something.
Right.
So I go out and I'm please don't go out there and drive it. I said, listen, I'm just going to drive it with one hand. I'll go real slow. I've got to get out here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sitting there made me think, oh, you poor thing. Oh, God, you're just messed up. You're worthless. See, you can't say that's bad fruit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rotten apple. That's a rotten seed that's trying to get in your heart so that the good seed will not bear fruit. That's exactly what's trying to take place,
mm-hmm.
You know. And so, anyways, you know, I get out there, you know, and I'm out there, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Glory to God, hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Lord. I get out there, and I'm feeling better in here. Not up here, but I'm feeling better inside here.
Right.
Why? Because I'm keeping the stuff out of my heart that is trying to give me vision from where I am, how I feel, and what's taking place. Well, now Teresa's having to do everything. Travis is having to do everything. He's having to run my whole business. He's having to answer the phone. And nobody won't go to work and laying out and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was telling Richard, you know, he didn't go back to work, you know. And I was telling Richard, I said, I'm having to get on the doctor's, man. Turn me loose, y'all. I need to drive. Y'all supposed to done call me. I need to drive. When can I go back to work? I need to go back to work. I was telling Richard, I said, it wasn't so much that I wanted to work. I said, but Travis has got the whole load.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
Prefer others before yourself. It's scriptural. That's the fruit of God in me that's causing me to say, hey, man, Travis is having too much hardship here. I need to be doing something. I need to be there. I need to be out doing something. And Teresa, she's having to do everything.
Yep.
You know, she's having to do everything in the church. See, Teresa's been talking about the church and who she is and one of the things that if you love somebody, you won't put extra hardship on them. And when it is on them, you want to go do something about it.
Right.
There's just something you want to go do something about. Travis told me one time, he said, Dad, I just can't seem to lay out on you. I said, it's called conscience and love, son.
Right.
He'll come to work sick. He stays up gaming until 3:00 in the morning. That tell him he's walking out there, a zombie. 3.5 minutes late.
He's still coming.
I'm like, good God Almighty. Looks like a walking zombie coming out through there, man. He's still there, though, Johnny. He might stay up to 3:00 gaming or whatever he's doing, stupid stuff he's doing. He should be in bed at 9:30 like the rest of us. Working. But you know what? He said, I just can't seem to do that to you. See, the body's got to come to the place to where we're all like that. We can't do each other that way. We got to be there for one another in prayer and faith and heaven. And, you know, if we don't do this stuff in our own self, but see, I've been talking about bearing fruit, growing in the Lord. That's what it does. It's not that we make this stuff happen in us, that we don't make it happen. It's that we're walking along and somebody does this wrong and God says, forgive. And you say, God, can I backslide? And without knowing I'm not a Christian for just a minute. And God says, no. He wouldn't let me backside and go beat somebody up that hooked me for a lot of money. I was going to let them have it, and I'm going to let them know you won't never do another. Nobody else like that. You're supposed to be a Christian, and you stab somebody. God wouldn't let me backslide.
Right.
Well, see, why I'm saying that is God was telling me, no, son, you got to grow to where they can stab you, and you don't give it a second thought.
Yeah.
And I'm there. It took me a while on that one maneuver there. It took me 6 months of praying for him. See, what I was doing, I was getting things out of my heart so that now love can grow.
Amen.
See, sometimes we got to do some repenting. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry that I've held a grudge. I'm sorry that I haven't been faithful, Lord. I'm sorry that I haven't been a submissive wife. You know what a good submissive wife does? Get up, cook breakfast, cook some dinner for your home, wash all the clothes. Don't let no grit get on the floor.
Amen.
Amen. What's wrong with that? That's fruit. Amen. Teresa's supposed to be my helpmate. She don't tell me what to do. She tries to, but it don't work. I just quit listening to the devil. Now I gotta love her. If I'm loving her like I'm supposed to, then I'll have a boldness when those wrong things come. I'll be like, nah, I wouldn't do her no harm, no way, no matter, no shape. She's wrong. She's in the flesh. And I just walk on like she ain't saying that. But you know what? And I'm over yonder yesterday. I'm telling you my story. I'm telling you the fruit of God now. I'm not just telling you my story and how you'll know how we are and all that. My life ain't none of your business. You bear fruit in yours and keep your nose out of my business. You'll be doing good and I will do good. I'm just a preacher.
Right.
And I have to tell my stuff sometimes so you get it, maybe. I don't know. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Praise God. Y'all know more about me than I do. Over there, I'm, you know, got a birthday party at 11 o'clock, you know, Aiden's birthday party. I want to be on the dozer. I got me a dozer now. I'm moving mountains. I redone a whole road yesterday, a quarter of a mile long. I cut it up. I built it up. I backed it up, packed it down, and was at the birthday party on time. Then I thought, you know what, I'm not going back over there. I'm going to spend some time with Teresa. I'm just going to rest of the day, and I'm going to spend some time with her, you know, and everything. Praise God.
Amen.
And everything. And so I disciplined myself.
Yeah.
I disciplined myself. Now I had to go back over there. I got a tall tree fell on the fence over there, you know. So I got to take the chainsaw over there and cut all that off, you know. But what I'm saying is, I come in and I'm going to spend the evening with her. She said, I need that box cut out because she's got 20 chickens. She bought 10 chickens. They sent her the wrong ones. She called them. They sent her 10 more. They told her to keep them. Now she ended up with 19 chickens instead of 10. So she's got to have a bigger box. I thought, great. I got to go cut this. She can do that herself. Good Lord. Get a knife. Cut a box. It's a cardboard box. What have you been doing all day long? I mean, you know, I mean, you've had 8 hours to do this. All of a sudden, we got to have a box fixed. But I just cast those out, Johnny, and I just marched my little self right around there, praise God. I just drug that box out of there, drug it around there on the back porch, praise God. Went in there and got the duct tape like us men do. We duct tape there. We think they's an anointing on duct tape. You know, because I thought, it don't make no difference. That's nothing to me. But that's precious to her.
Right.
prefer others before yourself.
Amen.
I fixed her box up and got her all fixed up. She's feeling sorry for a little chicken. Now they're all happy in there. You know what that is? That shows me that I bore fruit. Because used to, I would leave on Friday and she would see me on Sunday evening.
Right.
Back before I got saved. You don't know where I've been all weekend without messing around and all that stuff. I wasn't a faithful man. I didn't love her like I was supposed to. See, now because of the scripture, I'm talking about growing in the Lord. I believe that this even deeper of me loving her like Christ loved the church. I believe that I've tapped into a little bit of it personally. I believe I don't know the in-depth of how deep that scripture will take me in my life in the riches of the kingdom. But I believe this year that I'm going to practice on loving my wife more than I did last year. I purposed in my mind and heart yesterday, while I was over there on that dozer messing around, playing with that dirt, praise God, nothing wrong with that, that I'm going to be a better husband. I believe I'm a really good one. Say amen back there, her old man. I really believe I'm a good husband, man. I believe I'm a good, compared to where I was, I bore a lot of fruit. I was thinking about the scripture where it says if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her beauty, he's committed adultery on her already.
Amen.
And I thought, Lord, you know, it ain't you have to go and do that stuff anymore. All you got to do is look on a woman and want to.
Right.
Yep. So no pornography, guys.
Right.
Priest said, good Lord, that's like pornography. It's on the marketplace. That's like pornography.
It was.
Well, you know, I got the same marketplace.
Yeah.
Every time I get on there, there'll be a woman in a bikini, and I'll go, right quick. And I'll tell the Lord, I'm not looking on that, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not looking on that, Lord. I don't go, yeah, Lord. Woo! Boy! Some of y'all guys may do it. I know some of y'all out there in TV land does, because you ain't been coming to a good Bible-based church that teaches you you're supposed to be bearing fruit. So you just think you're supposed to eat any fruit you got. I pick up a tomato. I don't eat rotten off of it. I cut it off. Don't you?
Yeah.
Ew, what a half right there. Nah, man. I ain't wasting none of that. Nah, man. I go cut it off. Cut off the rotten, hallelujah. Well, I get that adultery stuff out of my heart.
Yeah.
I get it out of there. You know how you get it out of there? God, I've committed adultery before, but I'm never going to do it again in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm going to be a different man. I'm going to be a different woman, Lord. And you got to make up your mind and get that fruit out of there. You got to get that ground ready. You got to get all of that out so that the word of God, faithfulness, and all of that, praise God, can get on the inside there and cause you to be the man and the woman or the woman. And you might say, well, I'm not married yet. Well, you better not get married. You get some fruit. When you marry, you man up. You don't marry a woman and woman up. I'm not going along with this culture. I'm not going to judge them and hate them, but I'm going to tell them just like I tell anybody else. That's an abomination to the Lord. It is not good fruit. It is not healthy fruit for the family, for the kids, for anybody in that kind of relationship, praise God. It is bad fruit. It'll bring a bad crop, and it'll be destruction at the end of that crop. You're a young woman, you know. I'm going to get that man. He's going to do everything I say. No, that's not wrong. You're rebellious. Now, you need to get it down right what you're supposed to be in that Bible before you ever want you a little hunk.
Yeah.
And that little hunk ain't going to take a bath like you did when you date. He's going to brush his teeth. And when he has to go to work to get you a car and a refrigerator and groceries and baby diapers and all that, he's not going to be the little Romeo you had back there when y'all breathing each other's air.
Yeah.
I mean, look, don't they need a reality of the Bible before they enter into a relationship?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought when me and Teresa got married, oh, it was the best thing ever happened. Then we're living in a car. They were taking a bath in the river. Why? Because I won't work. And I'm responsible to pay the bills at my house. I'm responsible under the Lord, believing God, that I'm supposed to be the man. And you know what? I did. She talked about it at Sunday school. I can handle money. I can put $10,000 in my wallet and sit on it and be plumb broke. Still have it at the end of that brokenness. Why? Because I purposed in my heart that because of the Bible that I'm supposed to be a good steward, that I'm supposed to be the man at the house, that I'm supposed to be the one that walks in. My wife, we went through a great financial trial. We were 3 months behind on house and everything else. We were fixing to be homeless if something hadn't worked out. So y'all think y'all been in a little fix? We understand. I understand fixes. But I understand the power of God too. But you know, she come to me after a little while and she said, you know, we're talking and she's kind of crying a little bit. All I wanted to hear from you is everything's going to be okay. I was in her whining too. God, where are you? God, where are you? And all she did is me to walk up and say, look, man, God's faithful. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And I learned from that. Now, if we go through one now, by purpose, like God, I'll say, oh, man, God's always come through. Right? You know what? That's all a woman needs to know, that she's secure. That's all we need from God, is to know that we're secure. That he's going to take care of it. But if we don't have the fruit of the gospel in us, we're not going to have that security. And if we don't use it, look. I was telling that story. I needed to get back to work to take the pressure off of Travis trying to run my business. He did a good job. But I mean, the whole time, I hated he was under that.
Right.
I hated it. Mm-hmm. Because something had come out of the ordinary and stopped me from doing what I wanted to be doing. Wasn't necessarily that I want to work. He told me the other day, he said, Dad, I'm going to fire you. I said, fire me. I'll let your mama come get me. Just fire me. I've worked for him for 10 years and he don't pay me. Why don't you try that on for size? He owns his own business and I don't have to go. I can ball folk down there playing on dozers and everything else. I go and don't get paid. I usually bother buy somebody something to eat. Cost me to go with him. He asked me the other day, he said, Dad, you want me to pay? I said, no, son, I don't want paid. I'm telling you a true story. I go to work. Why don't you go work for your son? You can learn how to humble yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. The Bible says, don't be weary in going to church. Well, do it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the church full here. Yeah. Trying to get y'all to go out there and preach. What are y'all wrong with y'all Christians? Yeah. The church needs y'all. What's wrong with y'all? Don't need Jesus. We got Jesus all figured out here. Yeah. Come on. Y'all need to go out there and preach that to your neighbor. Well, we don't go to church. We got hurt in church. Did the building hurt you? No, it was people in there. But don't pay no attention to them. You ain't supposed to go over there and call people. You're going after the Lord Jesus. We got to get out there and preach this year.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Get back in church. It's ungodly. Pastor said something the other day, and I said, yeah. I don't remember what it was. We was talking about doing stuff. I said, I believe that's just pure ungodly for me to be like that. Pure ungodly. And I'm not going to be ungodly. What I mean by that is ungodlike. Don't mean I'm doing some big bad sin. Anything ungodlike, I want to be like God, right? That's wanting, and you know what? That'll cause us to bear fruit. How many knows it's vital in our lives now and for our future that we grow and develop as Christians? I'm telling you, it's vital.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed to tell people if they ain't going to church. I mean, there's people here. I thought, well, Lord, I'm letting down. They're laying out on them. They're just laying out, but I don't want to get on their nerves, you know. But somebody's going to have to let them know.
Get on his nerves.
Well, I wasn't talking about him.
I am.
I'm talking about Christians. I'm just talking about Christians in general. Something wrong with us when we're not assembling.
Yeah.
Right. Something wrong with us. Something getting wrong with our spirit. Maybe there's something wrong with us. We've got in a wrong spirit. Something's happening that is bringing not good fruit. Yeah. Whether it's here, I mean, and they may go to other churches. You need to tell them, man, repent. You need to get right. You used to go, you didn't go there for them at one time. You need to get back in the house of God. Hallelujah. You need to get back in there serving God. Yeah. I'm not just talking about here. We need to be encouraging people to do that. There will be continual evidence and results if we're growing. If we are growing in the Lord, there will be continual evidence, continual, easy to see results in my life. Mm-hmm. My boss come to me not too long after I got saved. He said, "Sugar, you got a minute?" And I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "What's happened to you?" I said, "I don't know what you're talking about, man." I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." He said, "Well, you're just totally different than you was. You know, what's happened?" He thought I had some kind of big life change, which I did. And I said, "Well, Jack," I said, I just got saved. I said, "I got saved." Well, now it brought conviction on him. He's been saved his whole life. He ain't got that kind of fruit. I said, "I just got saved." Oh, you know, and I wasn't trying to change. I'm going to church. I'm praying. Whatever they're saying at church, they're saying fasting's good. I'm jumping in on fasting. They're saying, you know, forgiving's good. That was a little challenge, but I'm learning how to forgive people, praise God. And what it was, there was continual results in my life. I used to didn't like Hispanics at all. I thought they wanted a little white girl. That's true. I thought they. Now I'm like, well, now after I got born again, got set free. See, God was speaking to Teresa. She didn't like me to go to the laundromat with her, and that's where most of the Hispanics is out there, the laundromat. And I didn't cut them no slack. I don't care where you at. The laundromat, you in a grocery store. I chased one out with a bumper jack. I went back to the truck, got a bumper jack, one of the old top jack up bumper jack, the big one. And I went back in there and run them slap out in there. And they called off. I said, "Call them, y'all won't need it to." Then I get born again, go to the laundromat, pulled up there, and I could feel it. I could feel the heat rising. Oh, man, they're here. They're here. We're just trying to wash clothes. Well, anyways, I thought, oh, man, I can't do it anymore, man. I'm a Christian. There's the fruit. That fruit on the inside of me is trying to bow out in the laundromat. Yep. And God is speaking to Teresa while I'm going to mention. He come up there. He said, he's walking up to me. And I thought, oh, God. God, help me. Jesus, help me. I'm serious. I mean, I would just draw back busting, man, you know.
And my car broke down.
I'm thinking about which one is where I'm burning. You don't need it. What a shape you in. Reckon you'll give me a ride home? I'm looking at it. I'm trying to get this thing.
Yeah.
It's a true story. Yeah. I've been saved about 3 months. Maybe four. We hadn't been delivered from the laundromat yet. We've been delivered now, praise God. Got delivered from the laundromat later on. But see, the laundromat was giving me an opportunity to bear out the fruit that had always nearly destroyed me and destroyed our life. Everything that meant to destroy us, God turned it around and brought victory to us when we yielded. But anyhow, I told Tracy, I said, "Well, I'm taking home." She couldn't believe it. She just couldn't. She thought, "Am I going to take him off of Chili?" She just, you know. Get out there, and he said, "Hey, I just bought some beer." I thought, "God, man, he ain't putting no stupid beer in my vehicle. I done overcame drinking. Now put some beer in here. First the Mexican, and then a beer.
Yeah.
Now what else is he gonna do if I go there?" I thought, "Well, man, I'm not religious. I mean, Jesus, you know, he done told me that beer can't hurt me if I don't drink it. You know." I said, "Well, sure, man, put your beer in there. Get your beer, man." I took him home while I'm gone. The Lord keeps speaking to Teresa. We don't even know it's in the Bible. Works worthy. I've repented. It's works worthy. I've repented. I get back and I felt good, man. I'm like, I didn't kill him, man. I feel good, man. I really felt good. I felt like I had conquered the world because I had walked out what the change that had come on the inside of me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All I was doing was growing, didn't even know it. Well, get back, Tracy's telling me that. And what I realized is that was works showing the repentance that I had done.
Amen.
That was works. That was good works in my life. And, you know, the Bible says, give me that scripture, man. Give me the first scripture. I'll tell you this. It says, wherefore lay aside malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And we covered some ground on growing. You know, you're never going to grow. I mean, you're never going to grow if you don't eat spiritual stuff. I'm talking about spiritually. You're never going to grow if you don't, just kind of like the Lord told me one time through the word. He said, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. And I thought, man, I can't do that. I mean, how can I do that? Christ gave his life for the church. How do I love Teresa that way? I mean, that's crazy. I can't think that way. And I thought, if I try to love her like Jesus did, then she's going to take advantage of me. And the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, no. He said, the word is there to set your marriage free. Amen. He said, it's there to set you free. He said, my word is never against you. He said, he said things are working against you. Well, what that did is I want her to drive a better vehicle than me today. I want her to have better shoes than me. I want her to have all the clothes she wants. I mean, I want her, if I was a maid to clean the house robot, I would go get it and program it. I would buy it. I don't borrow money anymore, but I would almost go borrow the money to buy it. That's what it did to me. It took me from wanting everything, and it don't matter about her, you know, she don't. And I told her, I said, don't you ever work a job, baby, unless Jesus tells you to. You don't have to work. My boss don't have to work for her. I'm going to work. I go work three jobs before she'll work. Y'all men are quiet. Not me, man. I want her to work. Good God, we got more. I'm not against them working either. I'm just talking about a principle thing here. I'm talking about a heart that the Bible will build in us men and women. I mean, it'd be a crying shame if Teresa didn't cook me supper. I work every day. And she did work. She should be cooking. Some of y'all women say, cook! Y'all can't even say it. I mean, y'all couldn't even say that. Man, you're getting on my nerves. No, I'm not Jesus either. I could care less whether you cook or not, but God, I'll cook it myself. It ain't got nothing to do with whether you go. The Bible says if you be willing and what? Willing and obedient. The Bible. We're talking about the Bible here. Wives, submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord, right? We're talking about the Bible. We're not talking about man's opinion. I'm willing to wash the dishes. Go to work. Wash the dishes. Cook. Clean if I need to. I will do it. She won't let me. I'll wash the clothes. But I just use the wrong deodorant, the detergent and stuff, and I get them all messed up. Went in there the other day, she laid there, hear the snore. I go in there and I thought, poor baby, it's an old Sunday evening. I thought, poor baby, why don't you start out Monday with a sink full of dishes? And so I'm in there and I don't know what I'm doing, cooking or something. And I just started, I put all the dishes in the dishwasher and I cleaned, run the sink full, you know, in there and cleaned off, washed the table and all that. And then I thought, wonder which one of them detergents I put in there. So I thought, I got one out. So I walked in there and said, hey, is this what goes in the dishwater washer?
Yeah, I did.
I go back in there, slam. She come in there and said, baby, you ain't got to start out in Laura with the dirty dishes. Did you know God likes that?
Yeah.
Did you know, praise God, when I need help out there, God will send me help? This is bearing fruit. Went and did a men's meet one time. And the Lord told me, he said, I want you to tell the men to, when they make coffee, to stop leaving their dripped coffee on the counter. I thought, are you serious? Coffee? You know, you stir it, and it drips there. And it just turns a little brown spot there in your coffee, you know, and all that. Just throw the spoon up there. Just flop around like, she'll clean it. She'll clean it. It's her job. That's ungodly.
Yeah.
That's truly ungodly. Ungodly.
Right.
So I'm up there, you know, and this one guy rode with me. Now I'm up there, and all of a sudden us men, which I don't drink much coffee. I said, us men, I said, when we make coffee, I said, God wants us to clean up the coffee that we spill on the counter. It's ungodly.
Yeah.
Ungodly? I said, let me say it like the ungodlike so it don't sound ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like God to do that.
Yeah.
He got in the car and started in the road. He said, you know, that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. I said, no, that's the fruit of the gospel.
Right.
I said, no, there ain't a word in there. Clean the coffee up. They are a word in there. It says, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. I said, that's a fruit, if I clean up the coffee, of the gospel in me, of the word of God in me. Hallelujah.
Right.
Give me the next scripture, man. I got just about all day. We cancel Sunday night, so we got plenty of time. He says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all those that are in the house. Did you know that's us? That's a parable of us.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be shining light in my house.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be letting the Lord live in me to where people see it in my house. My wife should see it in me. Right? Go ahead, man. Let your light shine. What if you ain't got one? You got to make one, right? Tracy's right. I don't like darkness, man. I didn't know this 200-watt bulb that Travis found out. I just ain't found one yet. Lucky's got them. I might not get one in the, but I'll have one on my shade lamp. It'll knock the TV out when it comes on. You can't even see it. And I thought one time, I thought, Lord, you know, one reason I did that is because my daddy would buy 30-watt light bulbs. He didn't even want a light bulb in the refrigerator because when it come up, when you opened it, the light came on. And I mean, he would tell you, hurry, shut that refrigerator door my whole life. And I'd say, why, Dad? He said, because the refrigerator's going to kick on, and it's going to use more electricity. And the light bill's going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was raised that way. So when I got born again, I thought, look, God, I've been redeemed from poverty, praise God. So I go leave a refrigerator door. Tracy, let the refrigerator door open. I said, oh, yeah. I did it on purpose. She didn't know it. First time she learned about it, I'd leave it open on purpose. I'm breaking that my daddy put in me. He put those rug seeds in me out of his ignorance, whatever the case might be, but it was bearing fruit in my life, trying to bear fruit in my life.
Amen.
And so I thought, my God, I'm buying 100-watt bulbs through everything. I go through the house, poof, poof, poof. Neighbors like, oh, now, whoo, good Lord. Shining right out here in our eyes. I wish they closed them shades. I light it up. I mean, I was living in darkness. The Bible says I've been transferred out of darkness over into the kingdom of light, over into the kingdom of his dear son. So anything that tries to bring darkness and all that, I just don't like it. Now, light bulb ain't it, but I mean, I like bright lights, man. It's everywhere I go, turn them on. Give me that other bed. He says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowl there came and devoured with it. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." Now I want to say this. Whenever you decide you're going to grow in the Lord, you're going to develop in the Lord, you need to get the word on it, whatever you're trying to grow in. You need to get the scripture, get the word on it. Put that word in your heart. Renew your mind to that word. And then let it get rooted. Let it get rooted. Let it stay long enough to start bearing fruit. You know? And you got to get your ground. I mean, you know, I had to repent. I cried for 4 hours after I was born again. I seen how I had done my wife. And boy, I mean, I was just crying, you know, being cleansed. And I'm repenting. I'm saying, "God, I'm so sorry, God. I've been caught up in my own self, Lord, in life. I didn't realize it, Lord. But Lord, it's not just about me and what I want. This is right the day I got born again. This is the day or the next day. It might have been the same day. And I thought, God, I've lived my life so selfish, you know, that I've hurt my daddy and I've hurt my mama. How many knows when you don't do your part, you hurt somebody in your life that loves you? Amen. When you do somebody wrong in your life, you hurt people that is connected to you.
Amen.
You don't lead your family to the house of God. Raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. People got mad at me because I say, "Well, my son's 29, he's nearly 30 years old, he's in church." Well, you know, they make their own choices. I don't care about all that. I just know I did what the Bible said, and it gave me the results the Bible said. Now, whatever else, everybody, I don't know. Bringing him to church was not raising him up in the Lord. Teaching him to have manners. Don't talk back to your mama. Going to your mama, going to him. I told him one time, I said, "Son, don't ever make me choose between me and your mama. Your mama was here before you." I went to him and I let him know, you don't raise your voice to your mama. You don't back talk your mama. If he comes out to my house back talking us now, I'll just tell him, "Stay at your house." I didn't raise you to back talk me. I didn't raise you to disrespect me. You've been raised up in the admonition of the Lord, not in just to go into church. You've been taught to fast and to pray and seek the Lord and love your wife as Christ. I showed you. I told him one time, I said, "Son, I said, I'm not telling you how to be a father, how to be a husband. I showed you how." See, us men need to show them by example how to be a godly man, a godly woman. Not a perfect one, but a godly one. One that prays. One that puts away filthy talking and filthy jokes and all of that junk at home. Hallelujah. My brother thinks I'm too strict. I'm victory. He thinks I'm not funny. I am funny. I'm a funny guy. I'm an easygoing guy. I mean, I really am. But I'm a serious one. I'm seriously funny. I'm so serious you don't know if I'm funny or not. Well, when it comes down to having a good life, it takes some fighting. It takes some foolish stuff put away sometimes. It's a good time to go play ball, but there's a time when you better not drop that ball. You better hide that ball, and you better run with that ball. And you better take hold of that baton of faith, and you better walk that walk. Hallelujah. Because look, the Bible says that Satan in the last days is going to turn it up because the time is short. See, in all these little things that I'm talking about this morning, it seems like correction to the body, but it ain't. It's instruction in right standing with the Lord that brings the peaceable fruits of righteousness.
Yeah.
Brings the power of God. Hallelujah. He says, it says that some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. And brought forth some 30, 60. This is our ground. This is our heart. When we prepare our heart, And we say, God, write your word upon the tables of my heart. And God, when it comes time, help me to use that word. Help me to be a doer of that word, Lord, in that time. That's good ground that brings forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. See, there's things that come, I mean, just like this. You know, I've had thoughts before.
I have a long time, honey.
Teresa's so strict and straight. I need a woman that just kind of lays back every now and then. Somebody that ain't so, you know, tight. Here it comes to choke the word out.
Yeah.
Tried to choke the word of love my wife as Christ so loved it, so that it wouldn't bear no fruit. Mm-hmm. Or you got everything going on, you know, and something else. Your car blows up in Florida. Nobody knows, not you, the troubles I have. I bought a truck that blowed up the parking lot. I bought one Teresa told me not to buy it. And I called her to come get me. She said, I'm not the tow truck. So I understand. So I understand when you don't listen to good counsel, you know. Or, you know, your light bill. Rich due, whatever the case might be. Christmas is here, boy, we're so broke, and we bought all them gifts. Should have just wrapped one that they had. That's what Aubrey did. Birthday, Aubrey, his birthday coming up. She went in there and drug out 10 of his gifts and wrapped 10 of them. Ah, he's happy. Woo! Whoa! Wow! He just opened them 2 days ago. Same gifts. I mean, he just thought he got a truckload of gifts. Did you know what? You open it up, Kane said, wow, what is it, a box? It's a box, Papa. Whew, thrilling, huh? So I want to encourage you. Whatever opportunity comes your way, use it to develop. Use it to grow. And I'm telling you, praise God, I believe this year that as we do, it's going to be like turned up fruit in our life. I mean, it's like God's grace is just going to be added to us wanting to grow and to know Him and be in compliance with Him and everything. And it's going to bring the blessing, the blessing of the Lord on our lives. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord,